The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Loss in our lives takes on many different forms and can be more than just a physical loss. It goes beyond that to include emotional loss, business loss, and loss of personal health. This is Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts. Today, Kathy and her guests will help you find out that you are not alone in dealing with loss and grief. There are so many different ways to deal with loss. What works for some may not work for others. Together, let's find the solution that you can use. Here's your host, Kathy Roberts.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices for Healing Talk Radio, dedicated to helping you develop skills and practices to heal loss and come alive. I am your host, professional counselor and educator, Kathy Roberts. You can learn more about me on my website, which is kathyroberts.net. From there, we can connect on social media, including Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and iTunes. In addition to the information you get by listening to this radio program, I'm available for consultation in my office in the Washington, D.C. area and by telephone and email all around the world. Periodically, I offer teleclasses so that listeners everywhere can participate and expand their experience through the healing practices that we discuss. Before we get started with today's show, I want to let listeners from last week know about two corrections from the March 31st show, Prostate Cancer and Sexuality. First, our guest, Hani Maletsky, let me know that men experiencing erectile dysfunction as a result of prostate cancer and treatment are best to avoid taking antihistamines. That was a little confusing in our conversation last week. And I got a week ahead of myself. It is next week, April 14th, that we will have two guests, one discussing the musical harp and healing, and the other discussing essential oils. Today, my guest is Andrew Harvey, one of my favorite voices for healing and transformation. Andrew will share with us on the topic of Nourish Your Soul Through Prayer and talk with us about his latest book, Light the Flame, 365 Days of Prayer. Welcome, Andrew. I'm so grateful you're with us this morning.
I am delighted to be with you. Thank you so much.
It's really nice to hear your voice.
And yours, Kathy.
Andrew, let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, Andrew, and about the show ahead, and then we'll dive into our discussion. Andrew Harvey's founder director of the Institute of Sacred Activism, an organization of concerned people who want to create peace and sustainability through institutional and systemic change. Andrew is passionate about fusing spiritual knowledge, courage, love, and passion with wise, radical action in the world. Having lived in both India and England during his childhood, Andrew has a sense of the unity of religions and a vision of a world infused with the sacred. He has studied and practiced Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Sufi mysticism, and written and edited over 30 books. He has taught at Oxford and Cornell, as well as other colleges and spiritual centers. And his most recent publication, as I mentioned, is Light the Flame, 365 Days of Prayer, in which he has included prayers from around the world that have most influenced his life. Listeners, in the hour ahead, I want to let you know what to expect. We'll discuss why and how we might pray. We'll explore maintaining connection to the holy in times of loss. And we'll also talk about the importance of both inner transformation and outer action in healing ourselves and the planet. Wow, that's a big thing we're going to do this hour, isn't it?
For our time.
I know. We might go 6 weeks here. Let's start with Light the Flame, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. I am so glad to have you and grateful to
you. What did you feel about the book?
I have enjoyed the book. One of the things that I like about what I do is I get to practice and read what people are talking about on the show. So in the past 2 weeks, I've spent about 5 minutes each morning with your entry for the day, I guess is the best way to put it, prayer for the day, and have been enjoying the quiet, which I have anyway, and the particular prayers you chose, some of which I resonate with completely, and others don't hit the spot quite in the same way. But I'm finding it a useful addition to my practice for quieting.
Well, it's a very transformative, radical book, too, because the prayers that I've chosen from all the mystical traditions are prayers of surrender, prayers of passion, prayers of pain. It's not a sweetie-tweety New Age book. It's a book that comes out of the boiling heart of the real mystical traditions. And I think that that's what gives it its intensity. It's the first time, I think, that short prayers from all of the mystical traditions have been brought together in what I hope is a kind of universal mystical Bible of prayer. And people are having the most incredible reactions to it. I'm happy to say it's really getting out there and in a way that gladdens my soul.
One of the things I like best about you, Andrew, and I'll share with our listeners, I've been in Andrew's presence a couple of times when he's lectured at the Jung Society in Washington, D.C., is how you don't tiptoe around the difficulties and challenges of life and the spiritual path and prayer and connection with God.
There's a prevailing sentimentality about the path, which is a disaster because we're in a very extreme world crisis, and the mystical path of transformation that's demanded for this crisis is also very tough and demanding, and it has to be understood as such, and anybody who undertakes it will find out how hard it is at certain moments and how much difficulty and suffering there is involved. So anybody who's telling you that the path's easy, that you just have to do this and that and you'll be transformed, is lying to you. And I, as a mystical teacher, as a spiritual teacher, and especially as somebody who believes that the one hope for our tormented world is a marriage of deep mystical truth and passionate action, has to be real about what is going on, what is required, and what the path truly is. And that's what I think really burns through the book. It's full of beauty, and they're full of prayers of praise and prayers of tenderness and prayers of gratitude, but there are also many prayers which enable you to get in touch with your suffering and offer it up to the divine so it can be transformed. We've got to get real on every level now to have a chance of survival. The latest climate report is absolutely terrifying, and this is from a conservative body, relatively conservative scientific body, and it's telling us that if we don't change now, really quickly, we are setting the world up for absolute chaos on every level and potential, and this is what's so scary, potential near-term extinction of the human race. People don't want to hear this. People don't want to relate to this. People want to go on pretending that nothing's going on. But in fact, we are in extreme danger. And as every mystic knows, when you are in extreme danger, prayer, the power of prayer, is an unbelievable resource, because when everything outside seems dark and crumbling away and impossible to, inconceivable to imagine, diving down into the divine in prayer will give you the strength to go forward. But make no mistake, we are at the edge of possibility now, and we need to change fast. And we need to really face what's going on, really go deep so that we can go profoundly forward. There's no more time for sentimentality or denial or doing anything less than going profoundly inward to discover our divine identity and the love that lives in it, and profoundly outward to dedicate our resources, our whole being, to coming together to do some sacred activist work to transform this situation. It's our last and best chance.
You speak about that regularly, and I find your voice so powerful when you talk about that. Often I hear people who are very eager to do outward wonderful work in the world, and I think that is positive and wonderful, and I honor that. And yet what you say about doing the inner work that we need to do to be most understanding and most effective about what is happening, not just in our lives, but in the lives of everyone on the planet, is really crucial.
It's that everything has failed. The mystics have not transformed the planet. They've been oming and shmoming while the last trees are burning down and the forests are being destroyed and the seas are being polluted and 3,000 million people are living on less than a dollar a day and 85 people own more than those 3 billion people and the world is being ravaged and destroyed by dark cartels of systemic evil. That's what's going on. The mystics have not been able to respond to it because they've been narcissistic in their pursuit of their own private liberation. And the activists, as they are, haven't been able to transform it because they've also been acting from a kind of narcissism and addiction to doing without being fed by the springs of divine wisdom. But the good news is that if you bring the very best of the mystic, the passion for God, the depth of what is given to a mystic in the experience of the path, with the passion for justice of the activist, then you have a potentially new fusion of power, of purpose, of meaning, of passion. And that is what sacred activism is about. And that's why I wrote Light the Flame, because the flame that I want to light is the flame of the third fire, what I call the third fire that's born from the marriage of the fire of the passion for God with the fire of the passion for justice. This is what I believe is the authentic Christ consciousness. This is the divine love and wisdom consciousness. And there is, I don't think there is any other force now that can rouse us from our narcissism and our paralysis and our dereliction and our desolation and our heartbreak and give us the cojones, the power, the chutzpah, the vibrancy, the juice to come together to really change this situation before we are annihilated by our own pride and our own madness and our own denial. This is, I'm not speaking like this because it excites me to speak like this. It actually devastates me to speak like this. I'm speaking like this because no one who is even half awake can afford to ignore the signs of a rapidly, exponentially collapsing world. We've got to do something from the deepest place of sacred awareness, because nothing less than action born from sacred consciousness, taken together in great humility but great urgency, can do anything real to change a situation which otherwise threatens every single human being and every single species. 200 species are vanishing every day. There are only 3,000 tigers left on the planet. 97% of the tigers have been slaughtered in the last 20 years. Lions may vanish by the end of the next decade. The rhinos are being massacred. The elephants are being massacred. We have in place systems of monumental corrupt greed that are strip mining the world, and we do nothing and go on praying and pretending that we are really spiritual. Well, in fact, to be really spiritual in a time like this is to be a warrior midwife of the new and to risk yourself in the great battle for the survival of the human race. That's what I see. That's what all of the major teachers on the planet are now saying. The Dalai Lama is saying this. This is time. This is the time for the race to wake up or not. We can't wake up now and really marry the deepest spiritual practice and understanding with the clearest, wisest, focused action together. We are toast.
Andrew, as usual, your passion really inspires me as you're talking. And we're coming up on our first break, but I want to share an image that's coming to mind as you're talking. And as you began talking, I was thinking about what you're feeding us through this book. And what comes to me is you're really feeding us fire that we
I'm feeding you through the flame of the Godhead so that you can connect with it, ignite your own flame, sustain your flame, and tremblingly and humbly go into the next stage of your evolution, which is to put real love into real action.
Action. Yes, we're coming up on our break, and we're going to take that now. You and I will have a chance to talk during that time. So more with Andrew Harvey coming up in just a few minutes. This is Kathy Roberts on Voices for Healing.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at kathyroberts.net. That's Kathy at kathyroberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back to Voices for Healing with host Kathy Roberts and guest Andrew Harvey. We're discussing how to nourish your soul through prayer through the lens of Andrew's latest book, Light the Flame. Andrew is a real powerful voice of our time on what we have lost and what we are losing now that we are, many of us are blind to and not seeing. And that is really inspiring, this wedding of passion for God and action justice in the world that Andrew is speaking about. Now he's going to share with us one of the prayers from his book, Light the Flame. Andrew, share with us your Sri Ramakrishna.
I would love to share with you this prayer that I think is so important for our time, because one of the things that's most depressing and frustrating about our time is that at the very moment when the human race needs to be united in sacred consciousness and in awareness of the sacredness of humanity and the sacredness of the creation, you have the wretched religions at each other's throats, each claiming to be the total truth and setting up sometimes very terrifying, violent situations. It may very well be that if there is an endgame scenario, it will be prompted by one of the crazy fanatical religions, either a fanatical Christianity or a fanatical Islam. This is an absolute obscenity, because there is only one divine and one light coming through many different colored windows. And we need to take the advice of the great mystical pioneers of humanity, of Jesus, of Rumi, of Ramakrishna, and listen and wake up and come together to deal with the real problems. The real problems are not whether you believe in the prophet or Jesus or Krishna. The real problem is that the environment is in free fall. We have created a system of the death machine that is destroying ourselves and everybody else and nature, and that we are now a genocidal species that is bringing in the sixth extinction, 200 species vanishing every day. That's the real problem. And we won't be able to come together and deal with it unless we understand what Rumi and Ramakrishna is trying to say to us. There's one divine, get in connection with it through whatever way you want, but come together in sacred love and sacred passion and sacred commitment to preserve humanity and the planet. And this is the prayer from someone I love deeply, someone who's been a huge influence on my life. If you ever want to read a book that is a mystical education in itself, which will blow your heart and mind and body open, read the Gospel of Ramakrishna, the story of a great Hindu mystic in the middle of the 19th century who broke through into the all-embracing love of the divine feminine and recognized that all the different religions were different aspects of the great cuisine of the mother laid out for humanity to eat. Here is his prayer. Mother, humanity needs you now to so illuminate our minds and hearts that we all know that all religions are roads that lead to the palace of God, that all paths are many-colored rivers rushing turbid with dogmatism to the same eternally shining, serene sea. O Mother, illuminate us now and make us wise. I love that prayer because he honors all of the religions and say they are roads that lead to the palace of God, but he also is dead clear about the problems that the religions have now, the shadows that they have. He says they are turbid with dogmatism. But even then, those who follow truly an Islamic path or a Buddhist path will get to the illumination that is beyond all religion, the same eternally shining, serene sea, the sea of the Mother, the great divine Mother. Oh, Mother, illuminate us now and make us wise. We don't have time to waste over this. The religions are part of the problem now. They need to be the core fire of the solution. And that's the work I do. In many ways, I try to help people in each religion because I've been initiated into the depths of Mahayana Buddhism, into Sufism, into Hinduism, into Shamanism, and into the Christ path through my great teacher, Father Bede Griffiths. And I've found for myself this unity and found how if, when you find this unity of all of the religions, you dance with joy because you understand that that makes available to us all kinds of different paths into truth, and of course makes available to us all kinds of really important sacred technologies that can help us transform ourselves, including the kinds of passionate, deep prayer that I have over 30 years collected and put into this collection, Light the Flame, for the world at this moment, for all sacred activists all over the world, for all those people who know where we are, tremble before the vastness of the crisis, but also know that there is the beloved present, there is the divine present, and we do have help, and we do have hope if we can truly go through a massive transformation with the help of God and put our passion for life into action together. There is no other way now. There can be no other way. All the other ways have been revealed as bankrupt. But we have not been abandoned. And through prayer, you can discover how the divine, by whatever name you choose to call it, is with you, in you, around you, longing with infinite love to give you the guts to face what's happening, give you the strength to undergo the transformation, and give you the power to put what you discover in that transformation into action. I'm not talking poetically. I'm talking about something that I and hundreds of thousands of others, especially sacred activists of all kinds throughout history, have discovered that the greatest source of help in potential disaster is a profound inner connection, which is best sustained, in my experience, through a marriage of deep meditation and profound prayer.
Yes. One of the things that you said, Andrew, that really caught my attention, and there's so much in what you just said that I'm trying to think, oh, where do I want to go? Is it this or this or this? I mean, there's just so much richness in it. But you said the phrase sacred technologies.
Yes.
And that
is very important, isn't
putting
it?
Putting those two, I don't think I've heard those two words put together in this way.
Well,
and
Kathy,
so I'm really interested.
We have to understand, and it's difficult in an age which is really governed by scientific fundamentalism, a vision, a philosophy that says only what you can note is real. It's very difficult to understand that in the mystical traditions we have inner sciences. When I was interviewing the Dalai Lama when he was getting the Nobel Prize in Oslo in 89, we had a long conversation, and he said, look, I love science and I honor science, but when are the scientists going to take the challenge that I am gently making them, which is to face that the mystical systems are inner sciences. They understand the laws of transformation. And over 1,500 years, we in Tibet have really discovered a set of practices that can truly help you. That's why later I co-wrote the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying with Sogyal, to introduce these practices and this wisdom and this glory of understanding to the world. And in my work, I have brought together in the Direct Path and in the Hope and in my various tape sets the practices from all of the traditions that I've practiced, which can now be used by human beings to strengthen and divinize themselves so that they can be strong enough and wise enough to do this unbelievably difficult transformation that we're all called upon to do. We don't have time to live as we have lived. We don't have time to be comfortable. We don't have time to continue to believe that we're going to be saved whatever we do. We have to face that it's up to us now with God to change ourselves, to be able to deal with the crisis and to go forward and be effective within it. And that means that we have to see the mystical truths and systems as inner sciences and embrace the practices, the great practices that they have given us and developed over the years, the Tibetan, the Hindu, the Christian, as a comprehensive sacred technology, which if you use it wisely and clearly can transform you quickly, deeply, profoundly, if you're sincere.
I'm curious if you can concretize that for us a bit and tell us
specifically. Yes, I'll
give you
exactly what I mean. What's needed now are five different kinds of practice. You need an integral practice, a whole practice, because the transformation that's asked of us is into an embodied divine humanity, humble but very forceful and grounded in divine consciousness. And what's needed is a practice that works on all of the different aspects of yourself, on your mind, on your heart, and on your body. So I believe that there are five kinds of practice that everyone needs to get simply down. First, calm, cool practices. Cool practices are practices which calm you down, steady you, release you into the great spaciousness of being. And cool practices are practices of deep surrender and peace. And unless you connect with the profound peace of being, you won't be strong enough to go through the hurricane of this time. You also need the exact opposite, because too many
if I could just interrupt you right here for a moment, Andrew. Calm, cool practice. We're going into another break in about a minute.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if by calm, cool practices calm you down and open you into spaciousness. I'm thinking you mean a particular meditation.
Well, I think that there's so many different kinds, and there again,
there
you
are.
Can choose, you can experiment, you can. A calm, imageless meditation is a wonderful, cool practice. Breathing in the golden light and breathing out whatever resistance you have is a wonderful, cool practice. Saying tenderly the name of God in the heart is an amazing, cool practice recommended by all the mystical traditions. All practices that introduce you to the space of being and the ground of groundless, empty, spacious, serene peace, those are the ones you need to get down in a time like this, because they provide the foundation of strength to do the work. You cannot do the work in a time like this unless you know that there's a part of you that is calmly deathless, and the cool practices help you experience that and continually experience that.
Yes, I can't wait to hear the next four of the kinds of practice. We're coming up for our second break, though. So we are going to take a break. You're listening to Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts and guest Andrew Harvey, who's talking about prayer and transformation. We'll be right back.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information. Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net or call 301-651-0019.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at kathyroberts.net. That's Kathy at kathyroberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Listeners, welcome back to Voices for Healing. We're discussing the nourishment that prayer offers in both challenging times and joyful times. My guest is Andrew Harvey, author of many books, the latest of which is Light the Flame, 365 Days of Prayer. Andrew has just begun before we took our break, telling us about five kinds of practices, mind, heart, and body practices that form an integral program that we could use to heal and transform ourselves and, in doing so, bring healing into the world. The first practice Andrew talked about was calm, cool practices that calm you down and open you to spaciousness. And those include different types of meditation and breathing, anything that opens you to a sense of peace. We're getting ready to talk about practice, the second practice, Andrew, which you said is the opposite of a cool practice.
Yes, I think one of the great mistakes of the New Age and some of the patriarchal mystical systems has been to concentrate only on the cool practices, as if that's the final enlightenment. No, real awakening is a paradox, a marriage of opposites. On the one hand, great peace, and on the other hand, great passion. And if you like the vision of the universe as a sacred marriage, think of the Father, perhaps, as the transcendent peace and the Mother, the embodied Mother, as the great passion. And for a time like this in which we're facing extreme loss, loss in our own lives, but much more importantly, the loss of the whole world, the loss of 200 species a day, the loss of hope in the future, the loss of so much pain that we're going through, despair at what's happening. At this time, it's very important to build a comprehensive practice that enables you to be really born as a divine human being in the marriage of opposites. So the second practice is hot practice. What you and I need are practices that will keep the heart alive in what is going already and what is going to get worse, a very extreme crisis. The global warming that that's happening right now, which is an exponential leap and it's getting madly worse every month, is the result of emissions in the 1970s. It takes 40 years for the emissions to crystallize into the toxic destruction that they make. So that means that we have ahead of us all of the emissions that in the last 40 years, which has been the period in which we have wantonly and orgiastically just gone on pouring filth into the atmosphere, they have yet to arrive. So we are before an enormous crisis which potentially threatens the whole of the human race. Don't think that I'm speaking drugged up in some on moonshine. Read the new report from the United Nations. Read Guy McPherson's work. Read Carolyn Baker's work. These are the pioneers of what we need to listen to, I deeply believe. Heart practices keep your heart alive. And they are practices of adoration, practices of relating to the fire of the heart, practices that enable you to burn ecstatically with love. And one wonderful practice is to say the name of God with great adoration and passion in your heart. If you say, if you're a Christian, for example, Om Namah Christaya, which is the Sanskrit for hail the name of Christ, or if you're a Muslim, say La ilaha illallah. There is no other God but God. Whatever gets your heart aflame with love for the beloved, say it, do it. And the great practices for the heart include also practices of unconditional compassion. For me, the supreme practice is Tonglen, which is a Buddhist practice, a Tibetan Buddhist practice, in which you take on the pain of the world in your heart and you transmute it and you give back to the world everything that is beautiful and noble in your own divine consciousness. This is a very powerful practice.
And that's Tonglen. It's for those of you who may not be familiar with it, I'll just spell it for those who might like to look it up. We won't have time to look at it here, but it's Tonglen, a Buddhist practice, and it's spelled T-O-N-G-L-E-N.
And if they want, if you want to explore this, there's a, it's chapter 12, I think, of the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. We spent 4 months writing this chapter, and it's introduced Tonglen to the world, and it's been practiced by people of all faiths now. It's the Dalai Lama's core practice. It's what keeps him serene and strong through everything.
And thank you for reminding me that that's where I first... Thank you for reminding me that that's where I first read about it. Until I was learning about you again now, I didn't realize that you collaborated with Sonyal Rinpoche on that. And
yes,
so I just, that was exciting to me to see. But let's move on to the third practice.
Well, this is what I'm really, we're talking about. The third practice is prayer. Because there are times when their life gets so difficult, and I'm sure everybody out there can understand this, that the cool practices, sitting in the lotus and breathing in and out, just won't work because you're too shattered. And there are times, too, when as you wake up to what's really happening, you will go through a great deal of heartbreak. Nobody wakes up to where we are without having their heart shattered. I've had my heart shattered. Everyone who's doing the real work in the real world have had their hearts absolutely shattered by what is going on. And the only way you can endure that shattering of the heart is if you have a very strong prayer practice. I think of Jesus, you know, at the end of his life, having been betrayed and abandoned by everyone and being alone in Gethsemane and realizing, my God, what the fate before him was, what his great sacrifice would have to be for the future. And Jesus wasn't sitting in the lotus breathing in and out, and he wasn't even doing a heart practice. What he was doing is praying. He was praying because you can always pray, I have discovered. You can always turn your heart in deep love towards God and say very simple, short prayers that really align you with the will of the beloved. And Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane is about one of the greatest prayers that any human being can pray. Lord, not as I will, but as you will. A real surrender to the true facts and to the true process. So prayer is absolutely essential for this transformation, which is why I created Light the Flame. Because Light the Flame is a collection of short prayers. Short because you need short prayers to really concentrate the passion passion of your heart, not long, elaborate prayers, short prayers. And I've chosen short prayers from all of the great mystical traditions, from Buddhism, from Sufism, from Hinduism, from Shamanism, so that you can concentrate the fire of your heart and experience for yourself the amazing radiance of the Beloved if you turn to the Beloved nakedly, simply, vulnerably. The fourth kind of practice is physical body practice, because you cannot enshrine and incarnate the divine without opening your whole body to the descending energies of the light. The light doesn't just come into the mind or the heart. The light wishes to penetrate the body and enter into the cells and wake up the light within the cells. This has been known now for thousands of years in the secret mystical traditions, and it's been rapidly and deeply exposed by Aurobindo and by Bede Griffiths and by Ken Wilber. And what we all need is a simple, sacred physical practice. And for this, I created Heart Yoga with the great yogi Karuna Erickson, and a new old yoga that fuses together the traditional asanas with light mysticism. And this yoga has been heralded, thank God, by the major yoga teachers like Sheba Ray and Sean Korn, and is being practiced all over the world. And I've just given a weekend on it and experienced for myself, rather amazedly, just how powerful it is and how strengthening it is. Find a physical practice, whether it's yoga or Reiki or sacred dance, that truly gives you the bliss, peace, power in your body.
You're reminding me of something I wanted to share with our listeners earlier, and I want to share that now as well. And that is, as Andrew talks about having some kind of body practice, yoga, qigong, dance, whatever it might be, I invite you, as you're listening to Andrew, to listen with your body as well as your ears as he's speaking. Because I think a lot of what he's saying, you will feel in your body, in your heart, in your belly, in your throat. You'll feel it in an embodied way if you listen in that way as well. So,
what a beautiful thing to say, and how important that is, isn't it? Because when we speak with our whole being, we speak really from the belly. Have you noticed that?
Yes, we do.
We're not speaking from the top of our bodies. We're speaking from that burning, strong core and the core of our stomachs. That when you watch Martin Luther King's great speech, I Still Have a Dream, Martin is speaking with the whole of his body. It's as if the whole of his body has become a leaping flame. That's the flame that I'm trying to light in Light the Flame with these prayers. The fifth practice, and this is hard, is that everybody needs, I think now at this moment, to do very, very humble and humbling shadow work, especially if you want to unite the great fire of the passion for God with the great fire of the passion for justice. If you're mystical by temperament, you've got to look at the shadow of mysticism and not get hooked on transcendence and realize that you're being given mystical experiences to make you a warrior midwife of justice in the world, not to float off into the light, but to arrive here empowered by the light to actually do something. And if you're an activist by temperament, you've got to look at the shadow of the activist and realize that you cannot be addicted to burnout. You cannot be addicted to blaming and shaming, because you have to face your own implication, your own corruption, your own enslavement to the system that is destroying this planet. And you have to face also that if you go forward with that righteous indignation and that naming and shaming, you will be still, however nobly, in an unhealed consciousness, because the real divine consciousness transcends those things and works from unconditional love, which does not mean that it does not discern what's happening and how people are destroying themselves in the world, but it means that you come from a place not of anger, but of transmuted outrage, which is fierce, compassionate energy. And you can see this so beautifully in the Dalai Lama, and you can see this in the great sacred activists like Jane Goodall and Aung San Suu Kyi, people who have been fired in the fires of agony, but have chosen the path of love in a very clear, discerning, focused, relentlessly energetic way. They are challenging us all to go forward in that way and inviting us.
There's so much Andrew has to offer us, and I want to come back to this discussion about shadow work so and make sure our listeners know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
But we do need to take a break right now. This is Kathy Roberts with Andrew Harvey on Voices for Healing, and stay with us. We'll be right back for more.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALKRADIO to 96362.
Kathy Roberts is not only an exceptional radio host, she's an exceptional listener and counselor. Kathy appeals to motivated, high-functioning people to help them improve their health and vitality. Kathy can meet you where you are and help you identify what you want. Visit Kathy's website at www.kathyroberts.net or call her at 301-651-0019. Kathy works with both individuals and couples and specializes in grief and depression counseling. Get to know yourself by working with Kathy. Visit kathyroberts.net. Or call 301-651-0019. Kathy Roberts offers Circle of Voices teleclasses to help you focus your mind, engage your energy, and awaken your inner guide. Through this experiential and interactive series, you will know yourself more and learn to express yourself authentically in your personal life. Visit Kathy's website at kathyroberts.net to find out about this teleclass series, designed to open you to change and engage healing in the fabric of your life. Go to kathyroberts.net or call Kathy at 301-651-0019 for more information.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You are listening to Voices for Healing with your host, Kathy Roberts. If you have a question or comment for the program, please send an email to Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. That's Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Now back to Voices for Healing.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Kathy Roberts with guest Andrew Harvey. I want to remind you that I love to hear from you about this radio program, and you can connect with me by email at Kathy at KathyRoberts.net. Before we move into the final phase of our discussion and clear up shadow work for you, I want to let Andrew have some time to share with you what upcoming events he has and how you can reach Andrew Harvey if you would like to do that. Andrew?
Well, thank you so much, Kathy. If you've been interested in what I'm saying and inspired by it, please turn to my website, andrewharvey.net, and you will see the whole slew of the kinds of things that I'm up to. If you want to come and see me in any of the places that I'm going to over the next year, please do so. But what I would really beg you to do, if you have been inspired by what I say, is to really get this new book of prayers, light the flame, and start practicing prayer at the deepest level for yourself. They've done a marvelous job, Hay House, of really producing it in an extremely simple and beautiful way. It's an extremely passionate book, and it will give you great, great inspiration. The second book that I'd really advise you, if you really want to understand what I'm saying at a deeper level, and if it excites you to understand that, please read the book that launched the global movement of sacred activism, The Hope. It's The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. Came out 5 years ago. It's been translated into many languages. Everybody said at the beginning, oh, God, this is too extreme. But now everyone on the planet is realizing that the future depends upon love in action, wisdom in action. And sacred activism has become a word all over the world that is potent. Please, please, please turn up as a sacred activist in your own way, with your own resources, with your own particular spiritual fire.
You are ahead of the curve, Andrew. I'm not surprised. I just want to interrupt and say that I can't believe the Hope came out 5 years ago. It doesn't seem that like that long ago, and you are really ahead of the curve in what you're talking about and sharing with us. So go ahead.
Well,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was ahead of the curve then, but I'm not ahead of the curve now. I think it's what's most gratifying is that all of the major teachers are now on board. They weren't then, but they are now. They've realized that I wasn't crazy, that this is the way through, and that's very gratifying to me, because I'm battered but alive to be appreciated. I also teach on Shift Network because I believe very much in using the resources of the internet, and I'm teaching a course on prayer, I'm teaching a course on the Christ consciousness, I'm teaching a course on Rumi. I'm really pouring out everything that I know at this moment because I am desperately aware of the danger that we are in, and we must use the resources of the internet while they are open because we don't know when they could be closed or when the collapse could come. We've got to get with the divine program, I believe, as soon as possible. And if you go to my website, you'll see that there are a lot of free videos. I've got about 100 videos on YouTube, so if you want to experience more deeply what I'm doing, there they are. If you go to Caroline Mace's wonderful website, MYSS, you'll see there are a lot of videos of when I've taught with Caroline, who's a great friend. If you go to Sounds True, you'll see that there are tape sets I've made with Caroline, and I've just made one with Marianne Williamson, which will be coming out this year. So there's a lot of Andrew Harvey out there. And choose which aspect you want of the work and go for it. I'd love to have you, too, on my Facebook page, which has 15,000 people and is very, very passionate. Okay?
Perfect. I'm glad that people know all the ways that they can have more of you. And I'm glad to know it, too. So I can't remember the last time you came through Washington. It seems like it's been a while since I heard about it anyway. So I like that I can be with you on YouTube. Andrew, I want to make sure some of our listeners who may – I can't assume everybody knows what shadow work is. Can you share what you mean by that so that those who may be wondering, what are they talking about, know a little bit more about it?
I think everyone who looks at themselves or looks at their lives understands that there are aspects of themselves that they're not in touch with. We have a version of ourselves which is usually a quite praise-filled version, the conscious version, but also, as any of our friends will tell us, there are aspects of our personality that we're just not in touch with because either we're ashamed of them or just unaware of them. And those we call, and this is Jung's great discovery, the shadow. And the shadow is very difficult to see because, of course, it's behind you. But the problem is that if you don't see your shadow, you can believe you are something and believe in a version of God that is naive, sentimental, and deeply, deeply biased. So until you turn and explore what you haven't been making conscious and make it conscious, however painful and grueling that may be, until you really understand the traumas that have afflicted your childhood, the traumas that have been conditioned into you by your culture, the traumas that have truly wounded you and made you act in certain unconscious ways, you go on repeating those patterns, whatever you believe you are and whatever kind of God you believe in. The other great problem is that...
Andrew, if I could just interrupt and interject one thing there, and that is, this is something that you cannot do alone. If you could, you would see the shadow.
Yes.
You would see those parts of yourselves that you're not aware of. So you absolutely need to be in community in some way to do this, whether it is through a therapist or a religious community or a spiritual group or some kind of structure where people are sharing.
Support, don't you? Because it's a painful
absolutely.
Business. I mean, you need to be with people who are facing their own shadows and won't blame you and shame you for yours.
And it's a very, and it's very complicated and it's a painful process because who really wants to know something about ourselves that we don't know? If it were easy to know, we probably already know it. So you need a lot of support and a lot of help, and it's not something that you can do alone. And I just really need to say that.
I think that, but one thing that could be done, because I've risked it and taken a journey with a Jungian analyst, a great Jungian analyst, and that's, you know, it's not cheap, and not everybody can afford it, and I can only just afford it. And I think that it also would be wonderful if you had a group of serious spiritual friends who would agree to do this kind of work together with great compassion. That can be very powerful, to really find a way of gently and tenderly and with great humor pointing out to the other what they are not seeing about themselves and allowing them to point that out to you. It's a scary business, but it's an amazing liberation, because somewhere we know that we're not who we're saying we are. Somewhere we know that we're putting on a persona, and we've become so addicted to that persona that we can't take the mask off. And actually, although sometimes you feel as if your face is peeling off as you take off the mask, in the end you feel so much closer to everybody, so much more transparent, and so much more authentically compassionate, because of course we're all crazy and this world is a lunatic asylum, and when you do shadow work you find that out.
You beautifully said. I cannot believe our time is at an end, but it is. And as I said earlier, I knew we would have so much to talk about, and I feel like I could keep going, but we have to stop yes. for today. Andrew, I want you to hang on the line here for a minute. I'm so
of
glad
course.
That you were with
and
us as a guest.
Much love to all of you, and so much luck to you. And thank
yes.
you, Kathy, for having me on.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. I'd love to hear from you about how the show is supporting your life. Next week, my guests are Edie Elkin, who will share with us her use of the harp in healthcare settings and for personal healing, and Olivia McNish McMillan, who will discuss the healing energies of essential oils. Until next time, transform loss, embrace vitality. You've been listening to Voices for Healing with Kathy Roberts and guest Andrew Harvey.
Thank you for listening to Voices for Healing. Please join Kathy Roberts again next Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We wish you the best recovery from your loss, and we'll talk again next week.